I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. If you've ever hit a rough patch in life, you've probably spent some time thinking about how to get out of it, how to make yourself happy again. Maybe you turn to self-help books. Maybe you solicit advice from friends. Maybe you do things that have cheered you up in the past in hopes that you can recreate that sense of well-being that you know is possible. On today's episode, I'm going to share a story about something that happened a few years ago in the mountains of Idaho, which shifted my whole perspective on how to re-find happiness. It's a story about a bicycle trip, and about confronting your limits, and about the surprising things that can happen when you fail to accomplish what you set out to do. So I feel like I need to start out by saying that I am a planner. Like, I'm totally type A. I can never just relax and trust that things will work out. I have to figure out a plan for how to make them work out. And once I have a plan, I have to stick to it, because obviously if I ever changed course, that would mean I failed. And I do this in my social life, in my outdoor adventures, in my career. I mean, I decided already in college that I was going to go to journalism school and then become a public radio reporter. And by gosh, I did that, even though I realized partway through the process that I didn't really love news reporting, at least not enough. But that was the plan, so I kept at it for so many years. So a couple of years ago, I made a different kind of plan. This time, the plan was to do a 500-mile bikepacking trip. So bikepacking is kind of like backpacking, only with your mountain bike. And the reason I decided to do this trip was because I desperately needed something that would make me happy again. I was in a really dark place at the time. I'd broken up with my longtime boyfriend, and that had hit me really hard. We'd been together for 4.5 years, and we had lived together for most of that time. In fact, he moved to Wyoming with me from New York City, like left his job to move to this place that neither of us knew anything about, just because he liked me. And now, 4 years later, we had split up. And even though it was a mutual decision, it was still really hard. All of a sudden, the person who had been the centerpiece of my life for so long was just gone. It was one of those breakups that tumbles you back into this pit of despair, like where you're hurting so much that you can't imagine ever not hurting again. And on top of all of that, I had just launched this podcast and was desperately trying to build that into a business, while, of course, holding down a part-time day job and taking on freelance gigs in order to pay the rent. So life was really hard at that point. I felt like I was constantly behind, constantly falling short, constantly overworked, overwhelmed, exhausted, lonely. And so I needed to do something for myself. And I decided that something would be a bikepacking trip. A year earlier, I had done a 500-mile hike. I'd gone all the way from Denver to Durango on the Colorado Trail. And that hike had made me fall in love with life. I'd started it totally depressed, and when I finished, I was on top of the world. Like, I felt like I could do anything. And I figured if the Colorado Trail had been so healing for me, then a bikepacking trip would do that too. So I picked out this route in Idaho, which looked great. It takes you past 40 hot springs, and there are pictures of cyclists riding through gorgeous meadows with these craggy snow-capped peaks in the background. I mean, basically, it looked like my idea of heaven. So I bought maps, planned out my route, set aside 3 weeks, and drove to Idaho to start my trip. Things started being suboptimal from the get-go. The morning I started the bike trip, it was already raining. And not only that, but the first 13 miles of my route were all uphill, like up a mountain. And of course, I had 30 pounds of camping gear on my bike, so it was a slog. And I'm thinking, okay, I got this. It can't be this steep forever. Yeah. Anyway, 13 miles later, I get to the top of this mountain pass, and it's cold and soggy and wet. And the only place to get out of the rain is an outhouse. Like, you know those outhouses that the Forest Service has at trailheads? There was one of those there. So I duck into that and eat my lunch. And as you might imagine, it smelled like a mixture of decaying excrement, stale urine, and peanut butter sandwich. Things did not improve much after that. It rained so hard that by the second day, the river that I was riding along turned all muddy. Like the rain washed all this dirt from the surrounding hillsides into the river. And of course, the river was my only source of drinking water, which wouldn't have been a problem if I'd had a filter. But I was trying to cut down on weight, so I'd left my filter at home and I only brought these little chlorine drops to purify the water. And that had seemed like a good idea at the time, but now I vaguely remembered reading something about how the chlorine drops won't work if the water is visibly dirty, like if there's a bunch of mud in the water. And so now I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna get Giardia, and I'm gonna be alone in my tent, puking my guts out in the middle of nowhere. And if I'm too sick to keep riding, then I'll have to stay camped in the same spot for a few days, and then I'll run out of food. And I mean, it sounds overly dramatic, but these are the things that are going through my head at this point. So given all that, a sane person might have just said, fuck it, this is no fun, I am turning back. But in my mind, that wasn't an option. I mean, I had a plan. I was going to do this 500-mile ride. And in my mind, you don't set out to ride 500 miles and then turn back after the first day. You just don't. So I keep riding, because that was the plan. And it keeps raining, and the river keeps being muddy, and my bike starts having mechanical problems that I don't know how to fix. A day or two later, things finally come to a head. I'm walking my bike up this impossibly steep mountain. Like I said, walking my bike, not riding, because it's way too steep to ride. And of course it's raining, only now it's not just wet, it's also really cold. Like, cold enough that there was ice on my tent in the morning. And the farther I go up this mountain, the more miserable I get. My back is aching, my fingers are numb, I'm completely soaked, my glasses are all fogged up from the rain. I mean, I am a mess. And as I'm going, the rain changes to hail, and the hail changes to sleet. And finally, I stop for a second to take stock of things. And I look at where I'm headed. I'm headed up toward this ridge. And the ridge looks white. And it takes me a moment to figure out what's going on, but finally I realize that's snow. Like, it's snowing up there. I am about to ride into a snowstorm. So, you know those moments when reality suddenly comes crashing down on you all at once? This was like that. I realized that all this hard stuff wouldn't be just today. There would be climbs like this every day. And some of them would be way longer and way harder. And there would be more rain and more snow and more cold and more misery. And at this point, I just start to cry, just all out bawling by myself at the side of this dirt road in the middle of nowhere. It was so cold and so wet and so steep and so miserable. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't do this. It's just too hard. And I'm not strong enough. And so just like that, I quit. I turned my bike around and I headed back the way I came. Mm-hmm. It took me 2 days to get back to my car, and it was wet and cold and miserable the whole time. And as I'm retracing my steps, I'm feeling some pretty strong emotions. On the one hand, I was really, really happy that the ride was going to be over. But on the other hand, I also had this acute sense of failure. Like I said, I'm someone who sticks to plans. I don't bail on things. And so when I turned back on this ride, I felt broken. Like I had given this my all and it had not been enough. It felt like the trail had chewed me up and spit me out and crushed me. And even worse than this sense of failure was that I now had no plan for how to make myself happy again. I mean, the whole point of this trip was to fall in love with life again, to feel capable and strong and energetic. And if the trip failed, well, then I wasn't going to get any of those benefits. And so I'm thinking, am I just going to have to keep wallowing in gloom for the rest of ever? We'll hear what happened next in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Support for Out There comes from Fjällräven, making the outdoors accessible for everyone. Fjällräven makes durable, environmentally friendly gear for outdoor enthusiasts. And I feel like I have to acknowledge how difficult the name Fjällräven is. It's spelled F-J-A-L-L, Raven, and it means Arctic fox in Swedish. But for those of us who don't speak Swedish, it's a little tough to pronounce. Even the company's North American CEO, Nathan Dopp, gets it wrong some of the time.
We were doing a store opening in Vancouver once, and there were some Swedes on the hockey team, you know, the Vancouver Canucks, and they came by, and they were there, and they were signing things and, you know, saying hello to people. And I said, "Oh, great, could you sign this bag?" And they said, "Great, for who?" And I said, "Well, for Fjällräven." And they said, "For who?" And I said, "Fjällräven." And I kept saying it, and they kept looking at me. And I said, "You know the brand," and I pointed at the logo on the bag, and they said, "Oh, Fjällräven." And I was like, ugh. So even I am not even close to the proper pronunciation.
For more information, visit fjällräven.us, and we've got a link to that on our website as well. And now, back to the story. So fast forward a couple of days, I get back to my car, I get myself sorted out, and then I realize I still have a few weeks free. Like, I can go do something else. And of course, I don't have a plan for what that something else might be. So I just wing it and drive a few hours north to the Sawtooth Mountains. I didn't really know anything about the Sawtooths, but I had heard they were pretty, and so I just went there. Turns out the Sawtooths are not pretty, they are paradise. I get there and there's this whole mountain range of craggy peaks with a fresh dusting of snow on them, which if you're not trying to ride your bike in it is actually pretty nice. And then there are these gorgeous lakes and beautiful valleys and hills of aspen trees that are turning golden and hot springs everywhere. And there's sunshine. Like, all of a sudden, the weather is glorious. So I ended up spending 2 weeks in the Sawtooths, and they were so much better than anything I had imagined. I went on gorgeous hikes, I borrowed a kayak and went paddling, I spent long afternoons lounging on the beach at this beautiful lake reading novels. I even had a fling with one of the locals. It started because I was going to this bar every evening, which is not what it sounds like. I went there because I was camping and it was really cold at night. And so in order to keep warm, I'd go to the bar in the evenings before I went to bed, and I would read my book, have a beer, maybe write in my journal. Anyway, one day the bartender strikes up a conversation with me, and I ask him for some hiking recommendations, and he tells me he hasn't been doing much hiking lately because he's gotten really into mountain biking. And I am like, fuck bikes. I told him all about the ride of misery, as I'd started calling it. And he looks at me, and he goes, "Sounds like you just need a fun ride." So we go for a ride together. And of course, it's lovely, you know, fun, playful, relaxing, all the things a bike ride is supposed to be. Later that week, the bartender takes me out on a houseboat, and we watch the stars until late into the night. The next morning, we hike up a mountain together. We fly a kite from the summit. He takes me out to dinner. We spend hours lounging in hot springs in the moonlight. And on the one-year anniversary of my breakup with my previous boyfriend, we make love on the houseboat. We didn't stay together, of course. It was just a fling. But my time in the Sawtooths gave me what I needed. By the time my trip was over, I felt whole again, refreshed, energized, worthy of being loved. And weirdly, I didn't feel defeated by the failed bike trip anymore. Instead, it somehow felt like the universe had conspired to push me in the direction I needed to go. For all my planning, I hadn't actually known what I needed. I thought I needed a tough solo adventure. I thought that was the cure for any time you were feeling down. Like, whenever you start feeling melancholy, you just plan out an epic adventure and you follow through with it, and bam, you get your happiness back. But in this case, I didn't need a difficult adventure. I needed a vacation. And I didn't need alone time. I needed to feel a connection with another human being, even if it was just for a short time. I like to think that maybe the universe knew all that. Maybe nature made that bike ride so miserable because she knew I'd never abandon my plan unless that plan truly broke me. And so she forced me to quit, forced me to slow down and find what I really needed. This story was first put together for a live storytelling event in Fort Collins, Colorado. A huge thank you to Luke Runyon and Ryan Thompson from KUNC for helping me shape the narrative. Thank you also to Allie Rosen and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. We also got a donation from a pair of listeners who call themselves Spider-Woman and The Brawn, which, as you might imagine, are not their real names. Those are their trail names. So hikers who do long-distance backpacking trips, things like the Appalachian Trail, often acquire trail names along the way. They're kind of like nicknames for the hiking community. My trail name, for example, is Two Piece because I hike with a swimsuit. If you want to hear more about that, just listen to the episode called Solace in Solitude, which is about my through hike of the Colorado Trail. Anyway, Spider-Woman says, if I want to know the story behind her trail name, I have to go on a hike with her, which I definitely hope to do someday. In the meantime, she wanted to say that she hopes more and more people will, quote, choose to spend chunks of their lifetime walking through our natural world with their house on their back, home under their feet, for the education, the beauty, the small carbon footprint, the personal growth, the instant trust and fellowship within the community, the quality of interpersonal relating, the falling head over heels in love with our earth and its web of life, for the earth-honoring choices they make once back in society. Thanks for those thoughts, Spider-Woman. I hope I get to hike with you someday. Just tell me when and where, and I'm totally there. For everyone else out there listening, if you'd like to make a donation of your own, just head over to our website, outtherepodcast.com, and click support. You can make a one-time donation, or even better, you can contribute to our Patreon campaign, which lets you make small contributions on a monthly basis. We also have Out There swag for sale on our website, t-shirts, tank tops, decals, hoodies. We even have some new zip-up hoodies, which are super soft and cozy. If you'd like one of those, just head to outtherepodcast.com and click on the merch tab. That's it for this episode. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold, and our marketing and business development director is Alex Egger-King. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.